So our reading tonight is going to be from Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 23 to 34. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And when he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" They shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" And some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and died in the water. And those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Just pray that the word of God would be blessed to your hearts tonight. Just again, before we come to our passage, just want to explain a bit about the background, because it's very important to go back into chapter 7, because at the end of chapter 7, Jesus has just finished the sermon on the mount. And here in that sermon, he explained the full meaning of the law, outlining his kingdom message, and showing that his demands were impossible to attain without him. But again, because time will not permit to comment any further on that sermon, but it is the last few verses of that chapter that are key to understanding this next part of Matthew's gospel. As we read in chapter 7, verse 28, that the crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching. For he was teaching them not as one who had authority. Sorry, he was teaching one who had authority, not as the scribes. See, the scribes at that time were the learned men of the day, but they had to quote others to establish their own authority. They were the ones who took over from the priest to interpret the law. And the weakness that they had was their tendency to live by their own traditions, and were totally unwilling to listen to Jesus. But Jesus did not, at this point, didn't need to quote others, because he spoke on his own authority. And then subsequently, we see at the start of chapter 8 that not only Jesus speaks with authority, but he also demonstrates his authority and his power through a series of miracles. First, he cleanses a leper, healing the centurion's servant, healing Peter's mother-in-law, And many were brought to him who had demons and were also sick as well. But yet, after all this, his disciples still did not know who Jesus was. So there's one thing though we all suffer with, and that is fear. We're all afraid of something. Most of us are afraid of certain animals like spiders and all types of creepy crawlies, and maybe like me, afraid of like heights, or could be afraid of flying. My biggest fear is of snakes. I just hate the way that they slither and sneak about, and just the thought of one bite from a snake that might be poisonous could actually kill you. I would never actually go to a country that had those types of snakes. I don't think I would ever go. But I do know that that most snakes would not hurt anyone, and will only strike if they feel threatened. But this doesn't really lessen my fear of them. And we all suffer from mild fear, mostly about things that will never happen to us. At least over 80% of the things that we worry about will probably never happen to us. And God encourages not to fear. But one fear I can guarantee that we sort of, including myself, is a fear of uncertainty and of the unknown. We do worry about what's going to happen in the future. We worry about our families, our finances. We worry about making the right decisions. The fear of uncertainty and the unknown can send us a bit crazy, and we can overthink things and trying to make a headway just into the unknown, and we are actually fearful at every step of the way. So in this passage we see these fears are in the disciples and in the people of the gatherings, and this fear, as we will see, is because of their failure and ours as well to recognize who Jesus is. So I'm just going to look at two themes from the passage today, and point number one I'm going to make is Jesus' power over nature, and the second point is Jesus' power over demons. So they were Jesus' power over nature and Jesus' power over demons. So our point number one, Jesus' power over nature. So if all what happened before wasn't enough to convince the disciples of who Jesus is, then suppose may this next part of this narrative will. But Jesus, who was he obviously weary from the last few events of teaching and healing, seen a crowd and asked the disciples to take him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So on his way over in the boat, Jesus falls asleep, which especially after a busy ministry, seemed to the disciples a reasonable thing for him to do. And also here we see that as well that Jesus is God, but we see him display his human nature as well, in that he like us got tired and weary. And he was weary just from the past events which I just recapped on, of the constant large crowds and of the miracles that he was performing, but yet anybody who's seen these great things still did not know or believe Jesus to be the Messiah. So when we read in verse 24, suddenly there arose a great storm, and the language that Matthew uses here is the same as describing an earthquake. Such was the ferocity of the storm. And even today, on the Sea of Galilee, because of where it is, it is actually situated 700 meters below sea level, and it's surrounded by narrow valleys. And strong winds are carried through these valleys, and these meet in the middle of the sea, and they cause huge storms. Much like if you're ever on Loch Ness as well, here in this country, a storm could come quite easy there. But this storm seemed to be more unlike any storm the disciples would have faced, and that's why they were so afraid. Because there are two things to actually consider here. And they are that, first of all, Peter, Andrew, James and John were all experienced fishermen. They probably seen many storms before in the sea, and had knowledge of the conditions and how to sail in them. But their reaction, it does indicate that the intensity of the storm must have been like they had not seen before. And that's why they were crying out for Jesus to help them. As well as this, in Jewish myth as well, the Jews had also a fear of the sea. The sea represented to Jews the forces of chaos and uncertainty. It terrified the Jews because they believed that the sea was home to sea monsters. But we read that in Psalm 104, verses 7 to 9, it tells us that God is in control of the sea. Verse 7 says, "At your command, the water fled; at the sound of your thunder, it hurried away. Mountains rose and valleys sank to levels that you decreed. Then you set a firm boundary for the seas, so they would never again cover the earth." And there are many other references in the Bible of God being in control of the sea. So we read then in verse 25 that the disciples are fearing for their lives, and they woke Jesus, but they call him Lord. But this was only out of respect for him. But it wasn't actually that they realized that he was the Messiah. And in verse 26, we read that Jesus, he tells them off, saying, "Why are they afraid?" And makes them aware of their little faith. And this means not that they had no faith at all, but their faith was deficient, it was lacking in him. And this is something that we can all relate to. It's easy to say what we believe, but when difficult times come, our faith, does our faith line up with our own actions? So we need to repent of this and ask God for Holy Spirit to give us the faith just to believe. And read then that Jesus then rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was immediate calm. In Matthew's Gospel, it doesn't record the words that Jesus says. But if we look at Mark's Gospel, he tells us that Jesus says, "Peace, be still." And the word for rebuke that Matthew uses here is the same word that is used when Jesus rebukes the demons that he has cast out. And this does suggest that this storm had an evil supernatural power to it that was trying to hinder Jesus and his disciples' ministry, or stop them from going to the other side of the sea. And amazingly, we know from John chapter 1 that the world was created a free Jesus, meaning that all things on the earth were subject to his command, so that even nature could not overrule him. And here, this is where Matthew is indicating to us who Jesus is. And the disciples were then in all of this, and they were asking again, what sort of man is this? If they knew their psalms or their oral tradition, they would know. They were thinking that this man who has called us to follow him, we have heard him teach with great wisdom and power. We have seen him heal many, but we still don't know who he is. And we can ourselves, we can easily look at the disciples and wonder how they did not know that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. He was the promised one, who had all power and authority given unto him, even witnessing his teaching and miracles at first hand. But does this seem familiar to us as well? I know it does seem familiar to me. We see a reflection of ourselves in this. We see that the uncertainty of the unknown. Just because, like the disciples, although we are not first-hand witnesses of Jesus in human form, we have seen God work in our lives, and sometimes miraculously. We have seen answers to prayer, and we praise God for them at that time, and thank him at that time as well. But then suddenly, our fear and lack of trust in him creeps back in again, and our fears then take over. And I just want to clarify at this point that the fear and anxiety I'm talking about is the anxiety worry that we have about circumstances or our family, our day-to-day unnecessary fear. But I'm not talking about by general anxiety disorder, because it needs treated by a doctor. It's a medical condition, and there's no shame in actually going to for help if you have that. But they're just talking about everyday fear here. But as Christians, we do forget those times of answered prayer and provision. How God stepped in and changed a whole family, a dire situation, or save someone who we thought was so hard against the gospel, much like the storm we have just read about our lives. Our lives get tossed around, and we become afraid, forgetting what God has done for us in the past. Then, like the disciples, when it all gets too much, we cry out to God for his help, and God answers our prayers, and he shows us his faithfulness, and we feel convicted about why we ever doubted him in the first place. But the amazing thing about this is that God never promises that our lives will be without chaos. That's why God's word keeps telling us not to fear. He gives us his peace, and he promises to be with us, just like the disciples in the boat. Because he was there with them. And we know he could have chosen to get off the boat and leave them to die, but he didn't, because they were precious and they were important to him, and he loved them just the same way that he loves us. This is very challenging, but it's a reminder for us to praise and thank God in the good times and in the bad, to always, as the psalmist says in Psalm 103, forget not all his benefits. And this will sustain us through the storms, knowing that God will surely carry us through as he has done before. Because it says so in his word. If we read Isaiah 46 and verse 4, it says, even to your old age I am he, and the grey hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, and I will carry and I will save. So what have we the fear, knowing that God is with us? And this brings to our second point as we look at verse 28. This is Jesus' power over demons. So by verse 28, we see Jesus displaying his power in another way. His power over demons. So after the storm is calmed, the disciples pull the boat into the shore in the land of the Gadarenes, and they are just immediately confronted by two demon possessed men who lived amongst the tombs. And this is very symbolic. As they believed at that time that evil spirits were believed to live among the tombs, and this was symbolizing that these men were like dead men, and these men must have been quite well known in the region, as they were so fierce that no one would go close, and even their cries could be heard across the sea and surrounding areas, striking fear into all who heard their cries. But then we read something very interesting, because it's not the disciples after witnessing the storm go from being really ferocious, but to being really calm. And the disciples have witnessed that great miracle, and they're not even confessing who Christ is. But as soon as Christ steps onto the shore, those demons that come out, and they say, and they recognize who Jesus is, because they are subject to him, and they recognize Jesus as the Son of God. And they are immediately in awe and in fear of him, and thinks he is there to torment them before their appointed time. And by the word time, they mean when Jesus will have his final victory, when he returns again. But this marks the beginning of their end, as with Jesus' arrival and announcement of the kingdom to come, their time is almost up. And this is starting with his ministry, his death and resurrection, which basically seals the devil and his fallen angels' fate. Their biggest fear in their lives was Jesus. But more importantly, they recognized who Jesus is while no one else did. Not wanting to be cast out, they begged to be sent into the pigs that were nearby. This means that this land was actually a Gentile land, as Jews would not keep pigs, as they were considered to be unclean animals. And it also marks Jesus' first excursion outside of his own country. So Jesus commands the demons to go into the pigs, where they then stampede and run into the water and drown. And from that one word, go, the men's torments are ceased, just as quick as the storm I had ceased. This is how quickly Jesus can remove our fears that we build up inside ourselves. We just have to trust in Him. And so we read that the local herdsmen in verse 33, after seeing their pigs drowned, flee to the nearby town and tell what they had seen. And they said what happened to their pigs, but most importantly, they mention of what happened to the demon-possessed men. These men who had caused so much fear for the people, who they could do nothing with, are suddenly made to come to their senses by Jesus, who arrives from another country. But since the changes in these men are so instant and so dramatic, and was so miraculous, it actually scared the people. So we read in verse 34 that they send Jesus away. It has been suggested that they sent Jesus away as the loss of the pigs was damaging to their livelihood, but I don't think this was the case. They were afraid of Jesus, and they did not fully understand the tormented men might have behaved in that way. But they were even more afraid of the power Christ displayed that changed the men instantly, and so begged Jesus and his disciples to leave. And again, we do see a failure to recognize who Jesus is. But as we know that God, through Christ, created a every living thing, including the demons, they are subject to him. And in this, we see he displays his power over them. And again, just like the storm, we see the fear of uncertainty. And the unknown. The people are so scared of Jesus that they reject him. And this is part of the reason why we also fear as well. We fear the unknown, because we fear as well being rejected by people. But then Jesus he tells us that we will be rejected. As he was, and Jesus prepares us for that rejection by telling us that would be so. And therefore, this is nothing new for us. We just have to persevere and endure, looking on to Christ as our help. So, just in closing. The main point that Matthew is trying to put across in his gospel is to proclaim and show who Jesus is. He speaks with authority. He performs miracles. He has power over nature, power over the demons. And Matthew shows Jesus is God in human form. The question that I believe that he is putting to us as we read his gospel is: do we believe it too? So, because if we truly did, we wouldn't have the fear of the uncertainty or the unknown. For we will know that Jesus is in control. And do we really know who Jesus is, if we worry when he tells us not to? Because if even the demons believe that he is God, then why do we not? And how often do we say that we do believe, but we lack that complete trust in him? But let's just tonight just put our faith in Christ. Let's believe that he will carry us through the storms, and that he will carry us through our fears and our anxieties and bring calm, just like in the scripture. So Jesus wants us to say the word, and all our storms and our lives will be calm. But whether a storm or the rejection is that you're facing today, just cling to God. Because sometimes Jesus doesn't step into our situations and say, "Peace, be still," or go. But just over times we do have to endure the storm right through until the end. But either way, the important thing to know is that Jesus is there with you, and he will never leave you alone. And he will be guiding you and leading you and carrying you and sustaining you by his grace, love and power. So cling to him, for he is trustworthy.